Similarly, in paragraph We could consider that a state attorney, I think, is more certain because it's already in it's in the state attorney's act. State advocate, I could have a look at that. This person that is at the director is one of the officers of the Director of Public Prosecutions. They deal with prosecutions in the High Courts and Superior Courts. If the committee would want me to do something like that, I must just have a look. It might even be that term might be used in the Natural Prosecuting Authority Act. I don't have that also right now, but I can have a look and when we're dealing with the other ones and then removed.
You said one of the guidelines that you indicate has defined or defined in that person that there is no such type of crime.
That is really to put it beyond doubt that what legal services we're talking about here are litigious and non-litigious. I hear what Dr. Lamisa is saying, that it is unusual to have word in brackets, but it has been done. But if the committee would prefer it otherwise, we can think of something else. These in respect of litigious and non-litigious services, legal services.
Mr. Fenomeno?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Just going back to six, advocates may only practice for their own account, and as such may not make over to share or divide any portion of their professional fee. What we experience in the Judicial Service Commission is that many of the seniors tell us how they help young advocates, especially black advocates, by sharing fees. Does this take that away?
No, this is a provisional definition.
See, that's always been a rule. It's nothing new. And I don't know if the advocates are doing that, whether they are complying with the law. It's not written in any statute. advocates do how they run. You're applying something like that in the Attorney Act regulating attorneys, but the Attorneys Act regulates the profession of attorneys in detail. Advocates, the only statute that regulates them is the Admission of Advocates Act, and it doesn't have any of that detail, but that's a common law principle that advocates aren't allowed to share what they earn.
Yeah. Is that regarded as sharing?
I'm not too sure on what basis they are doing this.
Explain. Many junior advocates don't hold out, they disappear, especially black juniors and female juniors. And there is a feeling that they must be assisted, at least for some time, so that they can stand on their own feet. And numerous senior advocates will say, yes, I take part of my fee and give it to my junior. This is happening every day.
First Ms. Lutz, and then Dr. Mitchell.
Chair, I rather thought that the barroom dealing with devils was a way of indirectly addressing this. However, what I would like to say is this. We cannot at this stage make a fundamental change. The advocate profession, which, as you know, I believe is being sold down the road in this bill, if anything, would welcome or should be expected to welcome a perpetuation of what is, after all, the fundamental basis of their mode of practice. So, A, it would be wrong to fiddle with it. B, I think their whole point of departure is that they want to retain the basis on which they function. It makes them the independent people that they are. And if anything, their concern is the fact that we are allowing the public to approach them directly, provided they have a clearly defined certificate, which, as you know, is a form I think is fine. In the other jurisdictions where it is taken, but it is not just their traditional mode of practice. But with respect to course, because what he says is nice, I like it, I mean, it's good. And I know the young people and the women, they can't last under the present condition. But I do not think that we could change anything here in respect of this, it's the old fundamental rule. I certainly don't think we can change it. It was in the previous act. And I don't think we can change it.
Dr. Mashecha, then Prof. Narandaba, followed by Mr. Harris.
Chairperson, I thought what we were dealing with is whether or not advocates can share. But advocates, both junior and senior, are instructed by attorneys. And the attorneys pay both the junior and the senior, so there's no sharing. So there shouldn't be a problem, right?
That's right. It's a free arrangement. I think that's right. If it's free arrangement, then the attorney pays at the moment.
Prof. Ndolondolo?
Chairperson, I'm sorry to the last process, huh? But looking at that, we'll be fine.
Well, let's finish with this 34-6 before we go forward to 35. Otherwise, then we're going to be jumping around with those flyers people talk about in the house. Mr. Olamisa?
Thank you, sir. No, I hear the point being made in response to Mr. Fundamental and the question. Have we answered the question as to what effect is this particular provision likely to have on the allowance that is given to the recall the privileges? Yeah, I mean, people who do privileges were given an allowance and items. And then this particular bill does provide for the absolute organization.
Privilege. We need to draw a distinction. We're talking about privilege, and we all know what privilege is. And we're talking about someone who's come out of privilege and is now on their own, as it were.
I'm talking more about the people who are doing privilege.
What is the point of that I referred to is not privilege. It's people who are no longer in privilege, but were struggling along and had a senior counsel take them under their wing, as well.
Let's address the privilege.
Yeah, no, I understand that point. I think it has been adequate just that when you are in now I am reminded of the question for the senior topic. You are like, what is the privilege to be allowed?
I think it's provision somewhere in the bill for that, I'm just saying.
But I'm feeling that's one of the rules, one of the many rules that the council must make from time to time. Clause 95.115. Romans 15 must make rules regarding the minimum conditions of students for the registration, administration of practical vocational training, and the payment of remuneration allowances for stipends for all candidates legal practitioners as contemplated in Section 27. So this is an open thing that's going to be dealt with by the council once it is up and running. And I recall in this committee that had discussions on this, where would the money come from, and I recall that it's still an open question, and I think that will be dealt with when the council gets up and running and has to make these rules. Possibilities were mentioned in this committee seat as the council itself, so it is an open question who's going to pay these stuff and whatever they're going to be.
But the present situation remains, it doesn't change.
I'm just worried that in the case of attorneys, the attorneys pay a stipend for 100%. Now, why should there be an exception in respect of the privilege? Why should people wait until the council is set, and the council is going to have its own time frame, the whole thing is going to drag on and on, and I think when you look at this matter, we must look at the situation, for instance, in the judiciary, that most judges are old, in the next 10 years they'll be gone, and unless people are supported to do quickly, we're going to have a crisis in the court system, because there will be no one, especially black people, qualifying to be appointed as judge. And it's actually very problematic that young kids from disadvantaged communities compete in the LLD, they do privilege and are not paid anything. As a result, they won't complete the privilege. And you have most of them sitting with LLBs, with master's degrees, and they cannot gain access to the practice. And why should it be difficult to simply say the same rule that applies to candidate attorneys should apply to privilege?
Mr. Thank
you, Chair. I was still on.
No, let's deal with this first.
This is for the privilege one.
Yes, before the main process.
Okay, with the privilege one, you know, the sentiment is still saying that if the spirit of concluding the bill, we should try by all means not to
open all new topics about which we know
I support honorable Mark accession. And I support Honorable Mutrechas, I listen when it comes to 34, in terms of attend a junior advocate and senior advocate fees separately, so which means we still stick to what is called on 36.
So, I mean,
Honorable
Privilege is different from I suppose, in most things. I mean, in a you can't force people to take on a pupil and then force them to pay a person. You just can't. Attorneys are not compelled to take on candidates. And the point of trying to get more people to become advocates so that they can in time become judges is tend to be completely undermined by insisting you cannot afford to take, and the effect of this is going to be if there's no suitable mechanism to finance it, then agriculture just simply not take on any people at all. And then that's all going to be changed. There's no way you can make people take on and then pay. The other thing is, agriculture are practicing to their own accounts, and they're usually, they're all on their own. So, whereas attorneys generally have a deeper backup system, and also the contingency attorneys can actually charge fees. You can charge fees from your contingency attorney work, where you can't do that for the people, as far as I understand. So there are some fundamental differences which distinguish the two, and I don't think we should go there. And I just, that's still linking with my concerns I've been raising all the way to regarding the financing of the law. I think we are rushing through, and I don't think we've adequately costed. And my concerns remain, as we discussed yesterday in our general discussion about the Justice Department, in 22 bills, we have not adequately assessed the financial implications of the law. And I'm concerned, actually, that the council might not even be able to... What if the council doesn't? We are imposing an obligation to take a pupillage, and the council decides, can't come up with a mechanism to make the payment, then what's going to happen?
Largely covered. Just to emphasize the point that the taking on of both candidate attorneys and pupils in a voluntary pursuit, accompanying a law practice that sits on a number of 10, 20 partners, it's much easier to take on candidate attorneys in the commercial environment. And for an advocate to take on, as a single practitioner, to take on a pupil, and then to require the person to pay. You don't know that as a tax voluntary, that evidence might say, well, we're not going to take on from the table. So I think we need to stick with what we've got to do, rather than change things. Mr. Fanamayava said this is quite valid, but again, what this month says, we've changed in the fundamental rule there. So I don't know if one can refer to something in the report, maybe. But it seems
lenders will stay away from the portfolio because they're not involved.
And come and open up new projects.
That's a difficult thing because it seems it's a rule of practice that has to be practiced, but it's not allowed in terms of the law. And it's a commendable issue. Dean are sharing these with juniors, but they seem to have done it in the past. And maybe we continue, we're not adding anything, that is an existing, Mr. Bassett, that is an existing rule. Or where does this come from? The Advocates Act, the bar rules, general GDP bar rules.
It's the basic thing.
It's been like that since the time of the war.
Yes.
It's one of those things that's been around. It's not written in any statute. Okay.
Thank you, so that's why I accept the conversation. Because I know I might have made some of
you really appreciate your apology.
I'm worried about some of the points that you have. Talking about that, but all of those comments haven't been made about that. You shouldn't be changing things. My concerns have been covered, actually, regarding the matter of this issue. Because the Rule 95 has been pointed out by Rule 95, that rule, looking at minimum conditions for the registration and administration of practical professional training and the payment of remuneration allowances or getting to all countries legal traditions as contemplated in Section 21. I imagine these candidates, legal traditional about their countries are then people, those who want to adhere to become matter. So that doesn't seem to have my concern that there must be something given to. And my concern was also that that particular provision should not be used by some unscrupulous advocate. Say, no, in terms of this type of provision, I cannot pay you any allowance. So if any narration is going to be made to the country for those allowances given to the minister, that is fine.
Turns into a conference, and that is definitely
control of what they can reach. So all these things, and I hear what the chairman is saying, that you can reach that right now. I don't know how to do it that nicely. These are all things that are going, the council is going to have to grapple with. And maybe change the whole basis of, maybe there should be contracts in the future.
Difficulty for the members of Dr. Machida with this bill. And at times, trust me, it's very tempting for us to start making these changes as they were committed. We did go as far as making those changes in terms of what is in Clause 35, which deals with fees and restricted legal service. There we definitely said, fine, let us grab the bill by the horns and say that when a client approaches a legal practitioner, that legal practitioner must confront or present a client with a document setting out the fees. But if we're going to start changing every single thing, and effectively we're doing the work of the council, then in that case, do we need this bill? No. We need something else. And we don't have that. This must be followed up by.
Yeah, would you allow me just to say to my own colleague, Ms. Schaefer, all that the state is undertaking to pay is for the transitional thing they'll call the National Forum and for the Ombud. The rest is for the account of the legal profession. The government is shrugging off the entire implication. So, but you have said before, it hasn't been costed. It isn't being costed because the state is not going to pay. That's part of what is unacceptable. Chairman, but through you, Advocate Bassett will just remind me there's one little clause that purports to say that the council can approach the government or parliament for possible funding, isn't there, somewhere? That means absolutely nothing. They won't get money. But isn't there, don't we have a clause somewhere saying they can approach? Yeah, no, you get besides the point anyway. I mean, the professions are going to carry the can for everything that has been allowed to go wrong. So it's not a question of it hasn't been costed. It isn't going to be costed. Chairman, may I ask you, don't we have about four bills to deal with this morning?
Yeah.
I think we can't continue to open new areas of discussion.
Because we
have four. We have four bills to deal with this morning, or five, or something.
Mr. Chairman, this much is correct. Perhaps I should have made that point right at the outset. It is our intention to resolve all four bills today. But we did have these amendments that we asked Mr. Bass to bring about yesterday. And I thought we should just go through them and satisfy ourselves that okay, that was the exercise we were engaged in.
Absolutely.
Mr. Panamera and Mr. Olamisa decided that they were outstanding issues that they had picked up.
But I would support you if you would stop the lead.
I have great respect for the approach that the committee has agreed to. And I also am sorry that you forgot to state it upfront, and therefore we are tempted to race at this point. But I don't think we are racing them because we want the committee to go back. But you see, some of us also come from the legal field. We interact with young people, with practicing lawyers. And they ask us, what are you doing there? Are you racing the issues? And if we don't race them, it will feel mean that we are not honest to our constituents. But we really have full respect for the pressure that we have, the situation that we're going through. We just think if you note this thing, because if it is said that the council will deal with this, the council may not think of these things immediately, but did they know it was part of our deliberations that these issues are on the agenda, that will assist us.
I'm pretty aware of the issue of the costing. I didn't want to hear it happen. Part of my concern is the implications on the costing on the profession, because what I've said before is the law societies also are not currently managing with their funding. And I mean, we're costing it all without knowing how much it's going to cost the profession and whether they can afford to actually do it. That's part of my concern.
As an attorney in the full-time employment and as an advocate in the full-time employment. Now my fundamental problem is full-time
hyphenated. Have we covered all the amendments and specials?
Next amendment, Ms. Bassett.
Initiative Clause 3072, grant, we put out to run a seal on the green document, that we put our paragraph 372C. Any person who performs any function under this subsection may not disclose any information which he or she obtained in the performance of such a function except. And then you'll see you wrote the paragraphs 1 to 5. Why the paragraph 6?
Okay, it's really new.
Yes.
Good.
57 to 5.
Yes, Mr. Bassett.
We have the composition of disability committees and what must be taken into account the need to include an advocate. That's 57.5. The need to include an advocate and an attorney in which there must be at least one advocate in the event of a legal practitioner being an advocate, when in the event of a candidate legal practitioner being a pupil, and B, the need to include one attorney in the event of legal practitioner being an attorney, when in the event of a candidate legal practitioner being a candidate.
Okay.
39.
Yes.
There are just, I don't know whether I need to go through these, that very small technical matter that weren't discussed yesterday, which that board has suggested, and I think it's good, an example, clause 39.4, at red, the document that you had yesterday, that the disciplinary committee may retain, and it was suggested by the law advisor that it should be a disciplinary committee. Of that nature.
Okay.
Punch the bedroom before.
The next one is clause 42. Discussed yesterday. Added a paragraph C to clause 42. It wasn't there yesterday because this object must also monitor fuel receipts. Then we jump to clause 84.
So,
standard before you. I want to hear your verbal declaration. And so putting the votes to you for adoption. First, those who are in favor.
And you deal with the
report?
Move the report.
You want us to do the report first, Ms. Holmes?
I thought the idea behind the report is to facilitate the adoption of the
report. All right. We're doing the report first.
First, His Majesty insists on dealing with the report, then he hasn't read it.
Unless I'm the only one who only read it this morning.
I've received it when I was in chair. I've read it, and I want to raise one point in it with you.
There isn't a long report, but a second paragraph.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this. It's going to be a long day, so let's accept that. Let's ask Christine to take us through it, and Christine can raise the salient points. It still allows you to raise the issues you wish to do. Christine, please.
Not reading every word.
No, no. I would hope not, Christine.
Okay, the role is 1.1. First of all, I have to answer by putting more in rather than less, because as you said, we can take up as we go or add more easily. 1.1 is looks at the committee being acutely aware of the lack of unity that characterizes the profession, the regulation of the profession, having experienced challenges in its deliberations.
It's actually quite hard to do this.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to just read where I think it is and then explain where I feel. So 1.1 is, the committee is acutely aware of the lack of unity that characterizes the regulation of the legal profession at present, having experienced this challenge in its deliberations. The bill recognizes that fragmentation within the profession operates in many ways and is further compounded by disparate laws that apply in different parts of the country. In addition, the committee looked at the demographics of the profession, which still do not reflect those of the country, even broadly. Entry to the profession is a challenge for many aspirant practitioners, especially those lacking resources at the outset of their career, and restrictive and outdated precepts create further hurdles. Also, the committee agrees that access by members of the public to legal services can be limited, especially for the poor. While the bill seeks to address all of the above concerns, the committee trusts that the legal profession will draw together to ensure meaningful and proper implementation of its provisions, and that implementation will not be frustrated because of their frustrations. Then 1.2 looks at the creation of the South African Legal Practice Council as a single unified statutory body to regulate all legal practitioners. And the point there is that the council, we've established council, but we still recognize the independence of the profession. And then I talk about the different goals of the council, touch on each of those. 1.3 talks about the establishment of the provincial council. and the point that at the outset the council must establish at least four of these, and that more provincial councils will be established progressively, taking into account several factors, including the availability of resources. Then I'll also talk about that the existing four statutory law societies will be incorporated within the council, but the voluntary associations are not affected. Then 1.4 talks about the composition of the council, and makes the point that there are 23 members, of which the majority are elected by the legal profession itself. And I explain the ratio of attorneys to advocates as a result of the actual ratio or proportion of attorneys and advocates existing in the profession at the moment. 1.3 talks about the minister's power to dissolve the council and the checks and balances that are put in place in that case. 1.6 addresses accessibility, and we talk about the mechanism that we decide on, that's the Law Reform Commission's role in that regard.
One point seven
deals with community service. And then 1.8 deals with complaints about fees and the problems around that. 1.9 talks about the ability to take briefs directly from the council, from the members of the public, and the need for those advocates to have a identity fund certificate to prevent, to ensure that members of the public are protected. Then 1.10 deals with alternative business practices or legal forms of legal practice. And the submission, we say importantly, the inquiry must address the statutory recognition of paralegals, which is another concern of ours. 1.11 looks at transparency in disciplinary matters, and that points out the innovation around having disciplinary matters must be published on the website. And the council's role in drawing up a code of conduct for the profession. 1.12 looks at the office of the service, legal services ombud, and that the ombud must be a retired judge. And then 1.13 deals with the fidelity fund and the capping of liability in that regard.
Chairman.
Thank you, Christine.
Yes. May I raise a few more things which I think is erroneous? 1.9, second line. It is not the case that, I quote, although there was a strong argument in favour of retaining the cab rank rule and the related prohibition of direct briefs, the committee is aware, etc. That was not the substance of our discussion. And I think that we should simply delete the reference to cab rank rule. In fact, it's enough to say that the committee is aware that there are advocates. In fact, they are now almost 500 who do take briefs directly from the members of the public and do therefore provide that they must have a fidelity fund. There was no discussion counterposing cab rank rule and the related prohibition of direct briefs.
We discussed them separately. We didn't discuss them in this way. We took no final position on the cab rank rule.
All right, so let's see, Christine, although there was a strong no, that all comes out.
We'll take it out, yeah. Okay.
The committee is aware that some advocates do take briefs directly from members of the public should be what remains?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And the first suggestion was we add the answer and they therefore provide that they must have a for this fund.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
in
options.
It's in options. All right. So we're done with 1.9, sir?
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Just 1.5?
You better wait out there. 1.5.
And you call processes that include, not include, and then the line is that only once all these processes have been followed.
That include. Processes have been followed. Okay, good. Start on my chat here.
1.8. The last line. Can we replace it with something that highlights affordability of legal services within our democratic dispensation that promotes access to justice for realization of various freedoms enshrined in the Constitution of Africa? I can just put it that way. I can give you this that I've written.
Okay.
Just say again, please, Ms.
Lowe. I want us to highlight affordability on that last line. That's the that what needs to actually be put into that letter to replace the last line to highlight affordability of legal services within our democratic dispensation. That's the intention of this bill. That promotes access to justice for realization of various freedoms.
So that last line deals with the cost estimates. If I can just put it a little bit above, and the practice of fees generally, would that be suitable to you?
I think it's fine. I'm quite fully aware that this would be, okay. But then there's a sentiment that you say the committee believes, and that's how I want the sentiment to be put down, which is about really bringing about a system that promotes legal services that are affordable, to promote access to justice in the spirit of the democratic constitution.
Anything else? All right. With those amendments, Ms. Hornemis, are you still reading?
Very slow, Chairman.
Very slow. All right.
And then I'm only coming 1.1 to now.
No.
I'm going to flush it. Is there a mistake there?
Yes.
So I should have been worried. The committee was made aware of the case that this is impossible. This is possible.
Of New Zealand.
Democratic Alliance
opposes the bill. I've got all the way to agree with
Again, I was just noting to the doctor, I'm like, what a picture. I think it's the first time in the life of this committee that we haven't found each other, and I think that's really, really sad. And given another year, you know, we would have produced a better piece of work and have some changes.
If I don't allow me to remove all the pages that may come on the cover and that we are talking to this and the rational and everything. But
it's fine.
I don't think it's necessary to go through it particularly because the report itself is at the top. I think it helps. Except that it doesn't refer to him to amend it. It's not necessary to say to bend it to amend it.
Dr. Machoka, before you. No, I also want to just place on record that actually it's not necessary to go clause by clause, but to say that this is really a compromise bill, and it is surprising that there is any party which would not support it, because for some of us, we really fell short of a transformation in respect of substance. We actually transformed the structure, not the substance. So it's really regrettable that those that we thought were accommodating still feel that they can support that. Thank you.
I said we also have the objection. There have been improvements which we appreciate. But at the end of the day, we regret you were just about to get it, but we appreciate the conversation for everyone.
I think the point very diplomatic, was what I commend you for your diplomacy. The point being made by Mr. Alamis and Dr. Machecha is that if the ANC had known you were going to impose a bill, they would not have conceded to some of the things that they did. That is a successful point. All right. Can then somebody please move the adoption of the bill? Is Dr. Machecha second it?
I wanted to find out if in the circumstances, just think about that being ambushed personally, as a single person, by the position of the other parties.
Which other parties? The DM, is it said they object to the opposing the bill? They've just said so.
No, I'm saying they've been taken back.
I don't understand how that is possible.
I'm asking for someone to move for the adoption of the bill.
He's just looking for a second that by the DM.
Yes.
And I don't understand how it couldn't have been crystal clear to anybody that we would be opposing this bill.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you were yet concerned about certain aspects of this.
But don't
you think and regarding those aspects, as the ANC, we made concessions.
Don't you think it's because they're right?
As Advocate Montana said, we would have expected that the after making those concessions, then we would only support the
bill. I think that's first time surprise because
I'm thinking now that as you commented, Chairperson, that if the ANC, for instance, has been aware that there's going to be this objection, maybe we would not have made some of the concessions more because they are not going fine enough to get the objective of the bill, which is to transform the bill of concession. It will remain untransformed.
Does the ANC legislate in order to blackmail people into support? I don't think you even mean what you say, sir.
No. Dr. Machek. You see, I always agree with the advocate on this, to say that if the purpose was really that we push what we believe is transformatory, like it or leave it, then we should have simply done that throughout. But you see, as a democratic organization, we think that we must take into account other views, remain persuaded by others, and that's what has happened here.
We persuaded us in various respects. We compromised. We thought that in the spirit of nation building and so on. But to play along with us, make us make this compromises, at the end you say you don't support.
I also think this discussion should now be broken in, but I fundamentally object. I have been absolutely clear about fundamental objections at this point.
This is a chair. We just had an important discussion here, which was actually the conclusion of the outcome of the discussion and given by the team. What you have led to do, I think, also to have the tender from the other party, in terms of what they want to put in that report. If any of us have been changing the things, that would have been a failing for us. So that as we proceed in the process, we are fully conscious of what is it that you regard as contentious. Because all of us have been part of this discussion, all of us have been part of the development of this book. Now we are at the point of concluding it, and it could have been good if we have had in that report what you regard as contentious, which I think is fair enough, so that whatever would actually follow this process wouldn't really become a surprise to us. We don't want to be surprised and say, but we've been in this together. That you will have mentioned it in this meeting as we conclude the process.
Chairman, let's conclude this. May I invite my colleague to read the full parliamentary monitoring group accounts of the meeting of this committee. Our position has been stated and restated and restated. Our options were put into the bill. They were finally kicked out of the bill. I would be in my rights to offer a minority report. I do not even. It would be a huge report. I did ask that the opposition of the Democratic Alliance should be noted. Mr. Bonani, did you note that?
Yes,
please. Yes. Noted in the report. Otherwise, my minority report would be as long as your report. And Mr. Bonani, we have had since what, about April, May on this bill? You ought to be familiar with our position. And if you're not, and if it may, I appreciate that it matters greatly to you, please read the committee. They all were there.
Yes, can we...
No, I'm just indicating that we were aware of what is contentious. We tried to make compromises, and I don't really think that it will be fair to put a situation as if whatever was contentious was never really.
But Chairman, let's stop this now. But you know, the essence of our objection is that must I really do this?
No.
Was the two chambers failing which, and that I went as far as I could on compromise. Committees, but not with delegated powers. Committees with original powers, so that each profession could regulate itself. I'm really not going to do this while we're here. That is the essence of the objection.
Somebody put up their hand and looked for the objection. And then we had all manner of problems raised by Mr. Holliday.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask again, can someone move for the adoption of this bill, please? Dr. Sheikh, are you moving for the adoption of the bill?
I'm moving for the adoption of the bill because even the compromises we made them in good faith, and we have no regret to move for the adoption of it.
Can someone second the adoption? Is it Rana Chakra? He's coming with a speech now. Yes.
Six people.
In the meantime, while we're waiting for the people outside, as I second.
Where's Prof. Narendra?
And we're very 50-50, so this bill is going to be passed by one vote. By one vote majority.
Are you planning on walking out? That's fine. If you're planning on walking out, that's okay. We'll bring another level ANC.
Who said anything about walking out?
It was mentioned now.
Okay. Because really, Gabriel!
That professor is there at that lobby.
Your absence was noted.
So important I am. Yeah.
Moved by Dr. Machaka, seconded by Ms. Glenna Machaka. Shall we do judicial lessons?
The two judicial matches, the one the criminal procedure is now also.
The one part is.
The one out of
judicial matches, section 73. That's the one.
You're a naughty man.
The one that's the other one is a judicial matter, second amendment.
The first one,
yes?
All right.
There's no tag on the
legal paper tag. Let me, honourable members, I had a lengthy discussion with Parliament's stable staff, Parliament's legal advisors on procedure. As you recall, we were informed by Parliament's legal advisors that the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill should be tagged Section 76 because of the six clauses they referred to in their report to us. Okay? Those six clauses were identified, and in discussions with yourselves, we agreed that we would remove those six clauses and put them in a separate bill. It needed me to inform the presiding officers of your decision in a formal communication, which I did. I met with senior table staff members and Parliament's legal advisors last night, who informed me that the process of splitting bills, they no longer do that. And in fact, what we should do is reject the six relevant clauses, firstly, and pass the bill as amended. Then what will happen is that they will present us with a memo, which I have to sign, requesting that those six clauses go into a separate bill, which is a separate process altogether. And in addition to that, there will have to be a new round of tagging. So the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill that we agreed to as amended will have to be retagged, Section 75. And they'll have to tag the new bill. As to whether we'll have enough time to process the new bill, that's up in the air. I personally don't think so. Because the parliamentary legal advisors tell me that we would need to advertise for submissions for that new six clause bill, which I didn't think was necessary given that we had already advertised. But they said, look, technically it's a new bill. In fact, there's about six clauses that we have already dealt with in development. And so that's where we are. I suppose I should inform you of that. So effectively what we have to do this morning is take the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill, reject the relevant six clauses, and then pass the bill as amended. I don't know if there's any questions or clarity. With regard to what I've just reported to you, are there any questions? Mr. Bassett.
prepare to read, can we assist you? We have to prepare it in another A list or that? Another A list. I just wondered if there's a document that has to be say for it objective.
Were you not present when you dealt with the six clauses? You weren't. Whether Mr. Chair has any veto powers in the Senate.